We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
John Ledyard, who's now joining us on the West Terre Hotline. He's a Bucks and NFL draft reporter for Pewter Report. My man, good to talk to you. How's things?
I'm doing great, Nate. Thanks so much. How are you?
No complaints. It is going to be a little bit of a weird week for me. I'm going to get to golf on a Sunday. I'll watch a little bit of football from my couch, which these are things that are very foreign to me during the normal NFL season. But, you know, one of the things, man, that I was kind of excited to bring you on to talk about is a guy named Josh Allen. I know that, listen, all of us have had quite a run through 4 weeks. A lot of emotionally unstable feelings. There's a lot of people looking for their bookmarked tweets for receipts. I for one, am sitting in this area where, do I have bookmark receipts? Of course I do. Everybody does. But at the same time, John, I think really what I'm most enjoying is watching a lot of peers in the media start to really change a narrative. It's not easy. And listen, this is one of, John, we're talking about arguably, and if you can name me a more polarizing prospect coming out of college, I would be good on you. And you can, you might tell me Jordan Love is one of those people, but I mean, no way is it even close.
I
really got to give a lot of people credit for coming forward and doing what I think a lot of us were just kind of waiting, and good for them for waiting too, but coming out and kind of admitting a lot of what Bills fans had been sort of clamoring for more than a year now, which is that Josh Allen is a pretty damn good quarterback.
Yeah, what a fascinating story. I mean, the whole saga of Josh Allen, I honestly think that you could probably write like a small book about the saga of Josh Allen in the NFL already, and we're only, I mean, we have way further to go. Who knows what's going to happen after these four games? I mean, you know, I don't think he's going to like turn back into his rookie year form or his college year form or anything like that, but it's like he is playing so out of his mind well, even compared to like where he was at last year, which like he was growing last year. And I said this on Twitter, you know, I think Bills fans kind of know from hearing me come on that come pre-draft, I was not a huge Josh Allen fan. I wasn't like one of these people that said he was a sixth, seventh round type of talent either. Right. I had him in the third round, which for me is the round that I label as a developmental starter. No extra incentives for the quarterback position thrown in there, like how most big name draft guys, they put quarterbacks all at the top because of the importance of the position. I don't really see it that way. I just kind of evaluate everything in a vacuum. So I had him in that vacuum where like that developmental starter type of range, you know, thinking that his peaks would never get to top 10 caliber type of player. Well, it has through the first 4 weeks of the season. There's no doubt about that at all. And really, Bills fans, you know, it's such an interesting dynamic between, you know, the social media dynamic of kind of talking about what Josh Allen was in college, what he was early in his NFL career, and what he is now in his third year. I mean, so it's kind of this process, I think, in a lot of ways of looking at him and saying, like, okay, were we wrong about the evaluation coming out of college? And I would say, I would push back strongly against that and say, like, I think we were right. I think it was spot on to be extremely in doubt. And you say polarizing, and I agree. But it was kind of like all fans and media against Josh Allen, basically, and thinking this was a bad idea to take him in the top 10 because the guy had never hit 60% complete, like 56.4 or whatever was his best complete college completion percentage in the two seasons that he started. He played horrible against top competition in college. You know, there were all these erratic, crazy throws. Obviously, the talent was there, but we've seen so many quarterbacks show that over the years and then kind of flame out. And you know, then there was this small sector of, like, national media that were kind of, like, just just saying what the NFL was telling them,
sure.
Which was that, oh, his supporting cast is bad. Well, I mean, then we look at those details, okay, as media, we look at those details. Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson's supporting cast dropped way more balls than Josh Allen's supporting cast. So it's like going through all these layers and trying to find something, and then it starts to turn into, well, he's just going to be a great quarterback up in the cold weather. That ball just cuts through the wind. And then it got to this joke format. You know what I mean? Everybody on both sides are like throwing out these ridiculous things. So it did. It reached like a level where it was personal, and really it was never about Josh Allen. It was just about this narrative that he was worthy of this top 10 pick, which he wasn't at the time. But then what has happened since then is kind of justified what the Bills saw pre-draft. It's like, all right, we know what he is now, and he has all these shortcomings, but we think we can take him, shape him, change him, and strip him down really to the basics. I mean, that's where he was last year. He's not throwing deep. He's throwing all these short passes. It's literally starting at the basics with him and then building him back up. And now we're at this point where the roster has completely been loaded during this time where he's matured and he's hitting his peak at the right time. And it looks like everything's just kind of coming together for Buffalo at a perfect timing. Masterful GM and coaching job done in Buffalo. Masterful. It's why we haven't seen anything like this for a quarterback before. People talk about Stafford. Wasn't even close to this.
Right.
Josh Allen's come way further than Matt Stafford did.
John, like last week, a 92.6, I think it was, adjusted completion percentage in that game last week. And I think, you know, his passing numbers were the volume anyways. The yards, 288 yards, were the lowest output this season. You could have made the argument he probably should have 3 or 4 touchdown passes. That John Brown play, for sure, should have been a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
And John, the thing is one of the things that I think I've been most impressed with over the last 2 weeks is the first 2 weeks of the season, we saw a guy who has really turned the corner mechanically. And when you look at his lower body, his feet, his mechanics, there has been a significant development in that area. That is the one area where, as much as I love what the Bills have done for him, Jordan Palmer has maybe done more for the little things that we don't talk about during a game, some of the mechanical stuff, the flaws that he absolutely had coming out of Wyoming. Jordan Palmer has done so much to help him clean those things up. But the off-platform stuff the last 2 weeks, the stuff you watch only really two guys do, and that's Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, the guys that can just flick the wrist, get the ball to a place, he now has the weapons that can separate enough that maybe gives him the confidence to make these off-platform throws. But even then, John, the accuracy and the way that he's able to execute some of these throws, that's the one thing that to me that maybe leads me to believe that this isn't a fluke, that this isn't a 4-game sample size that we're watching and then he's going to regress back to some point that we've already seen him play at. Like, there are throws being made, John, that very few men in this world can make.
Right. Oh, completely agree. And like you said, those have kind of always been there to some degree, but it's the consistency with which he's making those kind of throws and not making crucial mistakes that's totally different. I mean, it's just so, like I said, I honestly don't think we've seen anything like Josh Allen in the history of the NFL, certainly not in the modern era. I mean, where a quarterback has gone from playing that style of football, not only the recklessness, but also just everything was inconsistent. You know, at times everything looked perfect for a throw or two, but then you'd just be missing all over the place. And, you know, we've seen other quarterbacks, you know, take leaps. I mean, Dak Prescott's leap, it doesn't get talked about enough, but his leap also from college was pretty insane because he had accuracy issues as well. But I think Allen just has such a higher physical ceiling that if we're already seeing him get close to that, you know, in this year of his career, I just think that, man, that it could be a really special type of ceiling in here if he can find this at a consistent level. And I know I saw a tweet the other day that said, oh, the defense he's faced or this level in DVOA or whatever. And I'm not saying that a 4-game sample size should completely change someone's opinion about Josh Allen if they doubted him before, if they thought maybe like he wasn't going to be as good as his draft slot said. But it certainly should make you go back to the tape and back to the evidence and see things that you could have missed or see ways that he might have grown, even if you didn't miss anything, see ways that he might have matured, because that certainly happened. And I don't know if he'll play at this absurdly high level the rest of the season, but I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility. And as they face better teams and better defenses, how he plays in those games is going to be crucial to whether this Bills team can kind of go all the way this season, because as good as the AFC is with the Ravens and the Chiefs, I think near the top for most people, I mean, if Josh Allen's playing at this level that he's playing right now, the Bills can beat either of those teams because that's how good the rest of this roster is. I tweeted it in February. I don't know if you remember. I think we talked about it maybe, that like this Bills team is literally can be as good as any team in the league if Josh Allen's ready to like take that next step. And not only is he taking the next step, he's gone like above that through the first 4 weeks of the season. So it's going to be fun to see what happens.
This is John Ledyard on the Western Hotline of Pewter Report. John, so I think this is the most intriguing question. This isn't an easy one, but you as a person who evaluates players as they come from college and you do your best to slot them in areas you believe they belong, like, I guess it's a weird way, I guess, of asking what has Josh Allen taught you as an evaluator, but what, now that we know, you know, how, I mean, listen, what Josh Allen proves is that this league is a crapshoot, is that for the most part, teams are lucky more times than they're actually smart or good. But that doesn't change the difficulty of your job and the job of guys that do this for a living, that talk, that watch film, that break it down and determine where they should go and play in the NFL. So, like, if you are talking for the evaluation community as a whole, like, what does the type, what does Josh Allen's evolution teach you about how to approach the evaluation process of a quarterback, if it does anything?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've thought a ton about this. I am like a not only do I like to evaluate players, but then I...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'd love to go back and critique process and figure out what could I could have learned from different situations. I was on, I think, WGR, actually it was a couple months ago, and we talked about Josh Rosen with a couple of the guys, and I was, we were talking about that, and I was like, I think the thing I learned with Rosen more than anything is that you kind of have to be able to create off-platform a little bit. That's certainly far from Rosen's only problem, but I think in today's NFL, you know, the game has shifted so much that if you can't create as a quarterback a little bit outside of structure, you better be married with, like, the best play callers, systems, rosters in the league to be able to overcome that kind of deficiency, because the reality of the league today is that you're going to end up taking negative plays if you can't do that more often than not. And so that was something I learned from him. From Allen, it is a lot harder to figure out what you might have learned from it, because I think, like, everybody knew the physical tools were there, but I would say, like, if you take just Allen's on-field production, his statistical profile, all of the things, even the intangible or even the tangibles with Allen, like the arm strength and the athleticism and stuff, which I think I didn't value enough in that draft, as I said with Rosen, and I should have valued more. So if there's one thing I take from that, I think maybe it's that athleticism. He was able to be productive as a quarterback even early because of that, while the rest of the process grew. But if the rest of the process doesn't grow, Nate, like, there's no quarterback.
Yeah.
There's nobody excited about, like, to the degree that we are this season. And so the thing that it really taught me is the same thing I think that I've really learned from Dak Prescott, is that as much as we might try in the media to be able to jump into everything that encompasses a player at pre-draft, we cannot understand or quantify with any number or analytic or anything like that the internal aspects of who a player is and who a person is. You know,
right.
The fact that Josh Allen wants it as bad as he does, has worked as hard as he's worked, has been as coachable as he's been, you know, has grown, has just literally matured as a player to the degree that he's been. Like, that has happened. It wasn't like we were wrong necessarily about that stuff pre-draft. It's just that we could not quantify that level of unknown that comes from who his uniqueness as a person,
yeah,
and as a worker and all of those things. And so I think that is part of what makes Josh Allen special. And I wish, like, that there was a way I could, like, know that even from, like, the brief conversations that I had with him pre-draft. Like, you know, you can see that he's a worker, that he loves the game, but you can't know it to the level. Like, guys like him and Dak that get it done, and you go back and watch their college tape, and you're like, I don't know, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I was wrong. Like, I just, you know, like, that is crazy impressive about them. And so there's things you need to take into consideration when evaluating quarterbacks, because so much of it is intangibles. Those guys had it in droves, and so that has become really important to me to know whether that's the case or not with quarterbacks. And it's one of the reasons why I wasn't quite as sure about Dwayne Haskins and had him much further down the board, even further than I had Josh Allen down my board. And that one, so I learned it in that and applied it in that, and it looks better because of that. But at the same time, like, he's a tough evaluation because you take everything that happened on the field and in statistics, you know, 99% of the time you're probably going to be right if you have that lower down your board. And he is so elite as a worker and as a persona and everything like that, that he has propelled himself to that 1%, I think. So he deserves a ton of credit, and the coaching staff deserves a ton of credit. It's, like I said, it's something we really haven't seen before, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, you bring up Haskins, and I think, you know, I didn't plan on asking you about Haskins, but I think he is incredibly the situation playing out in Washington, I find incredibly interesting and intriguing. And there's part of me, John, that does not blame Ron Rivera. He's looking at the division and saying there is a team with one win and one tie in first place. This is likely a division that's going to be won with eight games. You could make the argument that seven really might win it, and that's how lowly that NFC East division is. But doesn't it feel like there's really no turning back now for the Washington football team? Like, you can't just say, especially when you looked at some of the body language you saw from some of the reports that were coming out, was because, well, he sort of lost the locker room because he was bragging about his stats in a loss. And some of that seems like maybe that's to save face for the organization, but it sort of seems like they're now going to be in a position next April that they're going to have to take a quarterback, because it almost seems like, unless Kyle Allen, which you and me, I think we both know he's not going to just come out and be this team's future starting quarterback. He's at most a young Case Keenum. So where do we go? Like, where does a team like Washington go now where you've turned your back on a guy after like 11 starts? Like, not like you have not. And we saw Josh Allen. It took him 2 years. I'm not saying that Dwayne Haskins is Josh Allen, and I'm not saying he's anyone in particular. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying this is another really good example of a team that appears to not understand how to develop a quarterback.
Right. Oh, that's another thing that makes the Josh Allen situation unbelievably fascinating, is because the Bills were so patient with him when he was having dud performances and playing poorly, you know, his first and second year. I mean, that a lot of organizations wouldn't have been, and they just knew what they had and they knew what he could become. And so they deserve a credit, ton of credit also for that, you know, for just that process of patience and believing that this thing would eventually work itself out, and for recognizing the baby steps when they were there. You know, having said that, I don't think Haskins is Josh Allen, you know, from a kind of a mental makeup standpoint or from the work ethic. And this is all based on things I've heard going back to before the draft. And I won't get into a ton of specifics. I mean, you mentioned the bragging about the stats, and, you know, there was a lot of talk that he just couldn't command the huddle as a rookie. You know, I heard it from a couple sources behind the scenes. Like,
he wears the captain, though. Like, the guy wears the C on his chest. That's the crazy part.
It's really bizarre. There must be like two different, I don't know. You know, I'm still too outside the situation to say much with certainty. I can just say what I've heard and, you know, what's kind of risen red flags for me before. But you're right. I mean, what makes no sense about it is if they kind of had a feeling that he was a big question mark, you know, why would you not take a quarterback when you're there at number two? I know Chase Young's a great player, but if you like Justin Herbert or if you like Tua Tagovailoa at that point, like, it just didn't make any sense. They didn't really even seem like it was a consideration. Maybe it was, and we don't know. But, you know, then to move on from him this quickly is also strange. But here's the thing. He's in practice, not even getting snaps.
Right.
Steven Montez from the practice squad is getting snaps over him. There's, like, no way this isn't a bigger deal than just, like, we're sending him down to keep teaching him, you know what I mean, for a week. Like, he's a third quarterback, and he's not even getting snaps in. So he might be inactive. I mean, who even, you know, like that's not a guy. That's a guy you've given up on. You can say what 100%. You want to the media, but like, and so it's a strange process for Washington. I disagree with a lot of the process for sure. At the same time, I can disagree with the process and say that I never really thought Dwayne Haskins was going to be a starting NFL quarterback. So I kind of get it from that perspective. But at the same time, if this is your guy and you're going to draft him first round, you better give him ample opportunity to succeed. And there's no benefit to sitting him right now. There's nothing better waiting in the wings. Just keep starting him, see what he matures and becomes. And if at the end of the year he's still a dud, you take a quarterback high, and that's how you move on. So it's a strange process, and I don't think they've handled it well.
Yeah, you know, it just reminds me of purgatory, and that's where the Bills were for many, many years, where your hope is that you could get to seven or eight wins and potentially win your division. But what does winning your division and losing in the first round of the playoffs really do to move your franchise forward? Because at that point, you're not picking high enough to really pick a player that's going to help you develop and move in the direction you need to move into. And frankly, then you're just kind of punting on it. additional year. It's a mess there. And benching your starting quarterback after the first quarter of the season is not somewhere that any organization should really be in, especially one that is having their first opportunity to see what Haskins really is. But I want to shift gears for like 1 second here, because I know I've only got you here for another minute or two. The Tampa Bay Bucs, they obviously lose on Thursday night to the Chicago Bears. Kind of a weird game, but I'll tell you, for 3-2, they certainly don't look or feel like a 3-2 football team. The injuries are insane at this point. What do you make of this team through a quarter of the season, through five games for them? And like, what in your mind tells you that this is still a team that I think a lot of people thought preseason would be the most talented and maybe the best offense in football? Like, what's giving you sort of that glimmer of hope that this is a team that could still win 12 games?
Yeah, I mean, Thursday night was just kind of like the worst first, you know. I mean, I know people saw them week one against the Saints, but and they've looked good for parts of that game, but I think everybody expected there to be kind of bumps in the road in week one. But really through weeks two, three, and four, I mean, they weren't necessarily consistent, but there were just so many flashes of dominant offensive play and exciting defensive play. You know, the big comeback against the Chargers, who aren't as bad as their record indicates. They're just the Chargers. I mean, they took the Chiefs to the final stages of overtime. I mean, this isn't a bad football team. They just can't finish games. And so, you know, that was a good – and the way that they were able to come back against a team like that, despite them not being at 100% and the Chargers not being at 100% either, of course, you know, it just felt like they were ready to, you know, hit the ground running, and then they come out and score on three of their first four drives against Chicago, and then – the inconsistency comes up again, and it's really frustrating with this team, because I've watched, you know, rewatched. I probably watched each of their games this year like four times, and the thing that I keep coming back to is they hardly ever go three and out. They almost always move the football, and the drive almost always ends when there's a penalty taken by one of their offensive players, mm-hmm. or there's a drop pass, so those are almost always. I mean, they lead the league in drops, which right in there in and of itself is shocking given the talent that they have.
Right.
But almost all the drops are by running backs. So, you know, you're just thinking running backs don't matter. Like, any running back can catch the ball in the flats and get a couple yards, and that's all you really need from those guys, you know. But their running backs can't even do that. So they're always in third and long because they've dropped so many passes, so many short passes that you put them in really manageable down and distances. And it's like little sloppy stuff like that that takes away from their games. They've dropped a couple touchdowns this year. And so there's been that kind of consistently overriding the team. And then penalties, obviously, as we saw Thursday night, I think they're back. They're probably going to be back to the league lead in penalties even after the games commence this weekend, unless one of the top teams goes off for a bunch. But, you know, they were led the league in penalties last year. Every team has improved under Arians and their penalty. Every year that he's been there, all the teams he's coached in the past have improved during his time there. So we'll see if that ends up happening. But right now, it's just like offensively, they can't get out of their own way consistently enough. You know, when they do, I mean, it's like boom, boom, down the field. Like, it's gorgeous. Brady's been great, which is the most encouraging thing you say, like reasons why they might still be among the best offenses in football by the end of the year. Brady's looked tremendous, which has been really, really encouraging. Obviously, they get Chris Godwin back, which probably for the Packers game, you hope, which is really encouraging as well, because he's played like a game and a half, and he's a great player. Mike Evans has not been 100%. He looked like ridiculous moving in the last game. He just couldn't move at all. He's barely practiced this year. Scotty Miller's been playing hurt, and he was playing less than Tyler Johnson. So there's like all of these injuries, and guys will be hopefully back healthy for this Packers game, which will make a big difference. There's still a lot of growth and maturation for the group as a whole together, because they barely got to practice because of all the injuries. So I think that there's a much higher ceiling than they've achieved, but it is about shaking off this culture of kind of losing and mistake-ridden play that's followed the franchise for years. And it isn't so much turnovers this year, but other stuff has kind of reared its head a little bit more. And so they're going to need to get that stuff under control. And if they do, I think they'll absolutely be, you know, one of the top 10 teams in the league. Whether they're the best or not remains to be seen, but the NFC is pretty wide open right now.
Ledyard, my man, appreciate you as always. Thanks for hopping on and making some time to talk ball. I always appreciate your insights, and look forward to doing it again soon, man. Enjoy your weekend of football, and we'll be watching.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate you having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.